It's Sunday morning, November 27th. Father, we ask that you'd have your hand upon our service and our gathering today, Lord God, and that you would just let your blessings flow, let your anointing flow, Lord God. Let us be able to receive what you have for us, Lord God. And Lord, we come to you with open hearts, and we just earnestly want to know you and to be in a better place, a better relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Is Sophie still here?
Yeah.
Oh, there she is. Behind Glenn, I couldn't see.
Well, maybe you should just turn on your x-ray vision like the rest of us.
I do that,
obviously.
You know, we are asking Sophie to say Jesus really loud. But the one, you know what? She's never seen us doing it. So we are asking her to do something that she's never seen happen. Where's Sophie? What's his? Jesus!
All right.
Jump with us.
Amen.
If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Jesus!
Woo-hoo! Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus!
If you need to see you, we're asking you to do something that you've never seen or heard. So if you want to do it, you know what, ask me, ask any of the grown-ups in here. We will all help you out. So one more time. Jesus!
We love you.
There. Just like that. And it's not that Jesus is deaf, but we really want it. When you really want something, you scream about it. You know what I mean? When you really want your mom to give you what you don't want, you scream at her.
Or help.
When
you
require
a situation, you say,
help.
There you go. You've been very good at it.
Thank you. And we'll keep praying for you. All our kids are precious.
You know, Sophie, one time somebody asked Jesus, who is the greatest person in the kingdom of heaven? Of all these people, what do you think, Sophie, what do you think that Jesus said? He said the greatest of them all is all these children. And grown-ups, what you need to do is to be like the children. So you right now are in a blessed place because Jesus wants us to be like you. And everybody that is like you, we grown-ups are looking at you to see how we should be. We are grown-ups, but what happened by being a grown-up is that we've learned bad stuff. We're not learning good stuff. We're getting worse by being grown-ups. But by being a child, you're perfect. Yes, you are. Maybe not before your eyes or the eyes of whatever else. Before Jesus, you are perfect. As good as it gets, you are. You are. That is 100% the truth.
You want to share what you're reading over there, Keith?
I'm usually reading a lot of different things in there. I bypass it, but in the sixth chapter of John, Jesus was saying some things. It was kind of working against the grain of a lot of his listeners, and he said that we have to eat his flesh, break his blood, and some certain things. It says in John 6:66. John 6:66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples left him and walked no more with him. And anyway, but Peter made a statement, and I have thought about this statement a lot of times, but he says, and Jesus asked him, he said, are you guys going to go and leave me too? And Peter, who is famous for making these weird statements, but they're not weird, but, you know, strange, he says, where are we going to go? And you know what? That's my question. Where am I going to go? He has a word of eternal life. And that is the thing that, you know, the older I get, the more important this gets. Because it's like you can, all of a sudden you can feel like you're going to step right from this life right into that one. And you might die for a while in between, you know, but when you fall asleep at night, you don't realize that there's been hours in between the last sleep. You know what I mean?
No, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
Seems like you close your eyes and wake back up.
So, but anyway, the pearl of great price. Is eternal life.
Amen.
It has to be.
Yes.
You know, what is greater than that?
Nothing.
I feel like, to me, the eternal life is just a byproduct of the love of the Father.
Yeah. And the older I get, the more I want it. And the less, and of course, the wheelchair helps me, but the less happy I am with this life, you know. I don't hate the wheelchair, but I don't love it. And the thing that bothers me is that I got a little problem in my mind that won't let me stand up. Mm-hmm. I got an imbalance. My legs are good and strong. I can stand and hang on to stuff and hang on for a long, long time. But I can't walk because I fall over. Mm-hmm. And so I don't resent that either, because God could treat me out anytime He wants. And if this is what He chooses, then that's what you choose, you know. I was thinking about the 31st chapter of Proverbs this morning, and you know, I think about my wife a lot of times, but there in the 31st chapter of Proverbs. It says, in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband is safely trusted her, so that he has no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And anyway, I mean, the rest of it all applies, but I think sometimes maybe I was quite fortunate, I don't know. But I don't know of any woman I've ever met that compares to a. And nothing against anybody that's here or anywhere else, but what a blessing that I had. And then to go on from this life into the next one, is even a greater blessing, you know. But anyway, that's where I am this morning. I'm thankful. And of course, my kids all would agree with me. I have developed a relationship with Chuck's mother. Not a romantic relationship, just a, she's a sweetheart. And a lot of that, I'm sure, is because that Joanne passed away. They're just they're two sisters. And we raised her three little boys, and they all know the Lord. They're all they're doing really good. I just talked to Steve, the oldest one, yesterday, and well, there's a lot of things I could say, but she had been listening to the scriptures on a steady basis for probably the last 3 years. And as I talked to her, I realized that it takes the scripture to change her. You could say anything you want, but it takes the ongoing relationship with the scriptures to do what God wants done. And
I had, you know, one of those kind of twilight sleep things, and you wake up and you're kind of still in your sleep, but you're talking to God, and God's talking to you, and it was enough that I actually got up and wrote it down. Okay, so it might be a touch long, but I thought I'd share it with you. As I watched that day from the sides, I wondered what was happening. The townspeople had been grumbling, but I wasn't sure what about. All I knew was this wonderful man, a man who, when he spoke my inner thoughts. I wondered for a moment how he knew, but then a warmth came over me, and I felt like I became strong, not in strength, but in spirit. Something inside me, not a worry, but a good thing. And I continued to listen and watch this man, for I could feel true love, a love I'd never known. As I observed from the sidelines, I heard him speak. He asked two of his followers to come with him. They went to a special place, a place where I knew with all my being that he was going to speak to his father. He asked his followers to stay at a spot and to pray. He continued going up the mountain. I wonder what he would say to his father. Well, what did he have to say? I know it had to be great things. Because his father, as he said, always gave him knowledge to do his will and not his own. I was anxious, wondering what great news it would be. How would this affect me? Because everything he said and did felt right in the line of my life. I was excited. Then I noticed his followers were sleeping. How could they sleep? He was talking to his father, and that was so special. Jesus came back down the mountain and saw them sleeping. I wondered if I should have woke them up, but I wasn't even supposed to be there. Jesus seemed kind of mad, which was very strange, but I think he was more surprised. So he asked them again to pray. I was wondering if I should pray too, but if I wasn't a follower, that was of importance. I was a follower of his life because his words were full of life, and I felt good. As he went back up the mountain, my mind went back to all the wonderful things I had seen and heard about him, and my heart became so full. I thought and thought how I felt so special to live at this moment and in this time. I was truly blessed. He came down again from the mountain, and I didn't even notice his followers fell asleep again. But this time he just let them sleep and went on his way. I knew that he was truly the Son of God, and that no matter what his father said to him, it was right and true and just. And as I watched him walk away, his shoulders seemed to get bolder, stronger as he walked. And I knew his heart was full of love, love from his father. I thought, I'd better get back to town. People will wonder where I was. Again, I wondered what his father said to him. Maybe I would find out if I should know, or maybe not. It's always left up to the Father's will, and I needed to remember that. But I knew I spent a special day of seeing Jesus walk up a mountain to talk to his Father. I will always remember. Mm-hmm. And that came in a kind of a twilight sleep thing where, and I remember apparently I was sitting on the side of the road where he was going up and kind of hiding because I wasn't supposed to be there. But I was. So it was special. So then the other thing I could say today, since nobody else seems to be talking, is how mad I am at Pablo. And I come off this whole thing about having this wonderful thing with the Lord. And listening with, this happened the other night. Listening, and you know, Pablo's going, you have to forgive, you have to forgive, you have to forgive. And I'm going, oh my gosh, would that guy say something else? I mean, it's like a broken record. You have to forgive. I was a little bit of a snack. You have to forgive. I was. I'm like, I'm so sick of hearing this. So I woke up like 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to go to the bathroom. And I was tired. And I thought, I won't get back to sleep. And I said, I should just dozy doodle. Now, this goes back to Sue Berger. My friend would always say, I'm going to take a little dozy doodle. That was her thing, you know. And it made me then feel sad because I miss my friend because she's dead. She's gone. And then I'm still really mad. I should take it back. Was still really mad at her husband. I've been mad at Ron. I don't always say people's name, but I don't care. I actually hope Ron Berger hears this. I've been mad at Ron forever because he got married and left us, left me out of his life completely. And that was just cutting off part of Sue. And then I remember Pablo going, you need to forgive him. Going, oh, not really. He probably wasn't talking about him. Anyways, long story is I've made too long. Anyways, I laid there and I forgave Ron Berger. And I had such a peace. I'm like, oh, this is, oh, maybe Pablo does have something. Maybe God did talk to Pablo. Maybe there was. But the feeling that I had was, I forgave Ron. Now, Ron, I don't see Ron. I haven't seen him. Ron doesn't know I forgave him. There's nothing. But I forgave him. And I feel so much better that I'm going, oh, I feel better. You know, because I've been mad at him since Sue's been dead, which has been, I don't know, what, 7 years or something? You know, it's been a long time. And I'm going, this is a relief. And then, strangely, out of nowhere, a couple days later, we're all at Pick and Save, or Pick and Save Festival on Birch Street. And all of a sudden, I see this guy going down the road, down the aisle, and I'm going, that's Andrew Berger. I hadn't seen him. I'm telling him, I'm going, Andrew! And he stopped. I gave him a hug, and he gave me a hug, and it was almost like a confirmation of forgiving the Father. I hadn't seen him in so long, and I'm going, oh, my gosh. So it is true. Mm-hmm. Forgiving works.
It wasn't my idea.
I know, but
the Bible.
You're the only one that's been taught, you know, pounding it.
It's so weird how, you know, that whole, like, he died for the forgiveness of our sins, and then we have to forgive too. It's such a strange concept, right?
I know.
But if we don't forgive, he won't forgive.
Yeah.
And, you know, madness to somebody, you can be mad about a situation, but mad, holding grudge, is unforgiveness. Mad is unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Right.
No matter how we justify it.
Right.
Well, I'm just mad, and I have the right to be mad because they did this to my parents and my brother and my sister and my aunt, and they think this. And if there's an ill feeling, that's not peace, love, joy, kindness, long-suffering.
No.
It's unforgiveness to the core, no matter how you want to justify it in your mind.
So in forethought, I had this wonderful time with the Lord going, I do forgive. And it wasn't like, I forgive him for the following things. You know, no, I just forgive him.
Yeah. And by faith. You know, it has to be done by faith.
So I didn't have to walk over across the street and smack Pablo like I wanted to. Because then I forgave Pablo for all the time.
Because it's one of those kinds of
for all I'm talking about forgiveness.
Yeah.
What a nice anchor to let go of.
Yeah.
And a weird thing when you realize that the thing that's holding you down is your own thought about the situation.
I know, and for years, not just, I mean,
glory.
So, thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
There's something I brought up on Friday. I'm going to touch on it a little bit. And he, I remember, I don't know if he would remember, but he brought it up more than once. And this is the first time anything is recorded at all about the devil. And is this the devil talks to Eve and saying, did God really say, you know, don't eat of the fruit or whatever? Did God really say that? Is that really what God said? And I know that voice, that little sentence, that little example, did God really say? It's a voice. Don't be mad at me. It's a voice that we all hear all the time. All the time. So then you have this anything. God said, you ask whatever you want to if you believe, and it will be done for you. Did God really say that? Is that really true? Did God really say that? Is that what God meant by it? That was the first time the devil spoke, and it was recorded. And guess what happened? It worked flawlessly for him. Flawlessly. It worked. Then the devil realized, hey, this I can change humanity as is. I can change the course of how things are going just by saying, did God really say? Mm-hmm. And Eve, she didn't fall. She didn't listen to the devil because she's so evil. And real good. Because we have Zacharias. He's a priest. The dad of John the Baptist. He's like, he's praying for a son. An angel of God appears, comes down. Your prayers are heard, are answered. And not only their answer, but this kid you're going to have is going to be amazing, the greatest prophet of all. And Zechariah is like, Is that really true? And boom, there he goes, death. I mean, mute for a few months. It's like, it's not because Zechariah did not have a good relationship with the Lord or whatever. Then we have John the Baptist, the greatest prophet born of woman. That's what Jesus said. Of course, Jesus is the greatest prophet born of woman, but that's what Jesus said. The greatest prophet born of woman. And God himself, he tells John, whoever you see the Spirit descending on him and abiding on him, he is the one. He is the one that I'm talking about. He's the Christ. So there's John the Baptist. He baptizes Jesus. He sees the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever seen the Holy Spirit? Come on, look it up. Not me. The Spirit comes down like a dove, goes into Jesus. And then Jesus goes on and preach and do miracles. And then John the Baptist, after preaching, talking about exactly this, he's like 70 disciples. Hey, is he really the one, or do we look for another? You know what I mean? Is he really the one? So there's this voice of the devil at all times. And it's not because John the Baptist is an evil man or because he's anything. It's because the devil, he works overtime. We go to work for 8 hours and we're pissed the rest because it's 12. The devil works 24/7, every day of the year, since creation. He's been doing this. And every time he's done it, every time it worked. So right now, I'm going to pray that at least on us, it stops working. Because it's enough. And we have the power. We have the whatever it takes. We have God. Who is greater by times, not even numbers. He's greater than the devil. So Lord, I pray right now over every one of us. And there's this voice. We pray that you eliminate it from our existence. This doubt from the devil, Father. We don't want it. We wouldn't be able to pray and believe our words that we're praying. We want to be able to believe what you're saying. And it's not that we believe it. But Father, we believe, but help our unbelief. Father, I pray for every one of us, Father, that you just grant us, not because we're special, or it's just because we're asking, Father, do it for us. Do it for us, Father. We don't want to hear that voice. We don't want to hear that voice. We don't need it. We don't want it. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
That's what I wanted to say.
I think Jesus said that John was the greatest prophet of man because it was two humans that created John. Whereas Jesus, I think that was the only, just trivial, but I don't know. We were going to have communion today. Special requests for communion, and we're going to have Jasper's going to say the prayer, and Caden's going to say the blessing. I don't know if it's over both the wine and the. But we need people to hand it out. Everyone can partake because we're not Catholic.
Because it's gluten free.
It's gluten free.
It's gluten free.
I like the other reason better, but yeah.
I don't know. It's. I've gone to Catholic weddings. That's why it made me think. Because at the wedding, they were like, we're going to have communion, except for everybody who's not Catholic. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, so.
Yeah. So.
Well, who wants to help hand out things?
Who wants to help hand out?
All right.
I've got bread and wine and.
Ouch! I think I got a carton. Okay, you guys, there's three things over there. So.
Towel is the bread. You want to hand that out first?
Sure. Got bread. And bread. Just take the towel off. Thanks, honey. Yeah.
You how many? How many?
Everybody gets what they want.
Can you grab this? And people will grab them.
They'll pick it up.
And you might have to give Grandpa his.
Yeah, there you go.
Other people can take it.
Thank you. I got big glasses. There's so many people who, makes more sense. Carter, don't forget back here with these guys. These guys. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I think he's following them.
He's following. Okay.
Buddy.
What is that made out of? Cow butt? Is that really what this was? I can't even open that up.
Is everybody got both?
That's right.
I'm not winning that.
Oh.
Does everybody have
Pablo.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Good job, Carter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Riley. You're doing a good job.
Excuse my
Get one for yourself.
You guys coming? Hold on,
right? It represents that moment when we take it in as Christ.
Do you have any garbage juice, Chester? If you're nervous to pray, you don't have to.
No.
Come join us. He's so excited. No, he's nervous.
That's okay.
Do you want to grab your juice and stuff so you can just at least join us for communion, please?
Oh. Jasper, come sit next to Grandpa and pray for communion, please.
You don't have to if you're nervous. Just at least come sit by.
Take it out.
He's fine.
Take a bottle of juice too and grab a different piece.
So we're doing that. Somebody can just pray over, and then Kate's going to pray over.
I think Kate can take this up.
Okay.
Are you looking something up, Keith?
Yeah, here.
Yeah, sure.
I've got some juice. Riley, why didn't you show Jasper what he needs?
Paul tells us in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, I have received of the Lord that which I am delivering to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, do you in remembrance.
Thank you.
Yeah, somebody can pray.
Now, Ken.
Jeff, you want to pray first? sins, Lord. Just thank you for shedding your blood and just that you would die for us for all our sins and just being with us in pain death, Lord. Just thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for this bread. Thank you for this blood. Just thank you for all that you've done, Lord. Please, Lord, just thank you for all that you've done.
Take of the bread.
Take of the bread.
Thank you.
After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, "This cup, this is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." In the next verse, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." And, you know, in First John, the fourth chapter, it says that every spirit that confesses that Jesus came in the flesh is of God. But there are people that say that he didn't come in the flesh. And I've heard it a number of times myself. And so we need to remember that this is important. So, somebody can pray for the blood.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for shedding your blood. Every single drop you could have gotten out of it at any point in time, yet you made the sacrifice, knowing the type of treatment that you were going to receive. And Lord, we thank you endlessly for that and for just doing that purely out of love for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 You know, that's glad Keith brought that up. It's a major thing. Communion means nothing if Jesus didn't come in the flesh.
Amen.
Exactly.
You know, it means nothing.
Well, we wouldn't be doing it, you know.
Huh?
We wouldn't be doing it, really.
I mean, but a lot of people do it, but they don't understand. They think he's something other than he is. He had to be a man, you know. And because it's saying until his death, until he comes again. Now he's a glorified man now, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we'll get to be one day. You know, so it's a vital thing it's a vital thing for baptism. It's a vital thing for communion that you understand that he is a man.
And his sacrifice that he made for us was a perfect sacrifice.
Yep.
No one else could have done that sacrifice.
What I like what it says too is it says is the new covenant. The new covenant is glorious. I mean, it made God's mercy and grace just amazing, because you didn't have to follow, you didn't do this legalistic following the law and everything else. You can get forgiveness at any time of the day, as many times a day, times in a day that you want it. The new covenant is glorious. I mean, it made a whole new concept for us to be one with the Father and with His Son, and it let the Spirit flow. When you look at a lot of the things in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon people, but it wasn't like it resided on, you know, except for if they were being used, you know. So we have you can have the Spirit all the time. You know, it's possible. I don't have it all the time, but it's possible. And I love it when I do, you know. But But it says we can, you can fully have it. You can have the same, actually, I believe it says, you can have the same amount of fullness of God in you that Jesus did.
Yes.
Probably if you believe,
right.
You know? And it's, I do love that. I've been asking myself about certain spots in the Bible, like, well, didn't God really say this? So how are we, so if he said it, when are we going to accept it? You know? And there's, and a lot of it has to do with, because my faith is so small in some areas that I haven't accepted it.
When we're living like Jesus is probably when we're going to accept it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's hard to accept when we know how we're living. It's like, well, I know I'm not sinless like Christ, you know? So.
But as it's possible that the more you keep getting these scriptures into you, you just keep getting closer to having that. And that's what we want. You know, I mean, and it's going to happen. I mean, there's going to be a glorious church, a real church in the end, or somewhere along the way, wherever.
Okay. Cindy and I were talking this morning. We were praying about our kids, all of our kids. And it's like, no, lukewarm, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? He says the Bible, he said, I prefer. So Jesus would rather, he says, I prefer if you were cold.
Yeah.
Or hot. So being cold is better than lukewarm.
It means you can be reached.
Whatever it means,
yeah, whatever.
Is better. But no, yes, I'm not saying no. I mean,
yeah, no. No, there's all kinds of sides to that.
But, you know, it's important that we are hot. Hot, hot, hot.
It begs the question, if you could be hot for God, or warm for God, if you're deceived. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I would rather that you knew nothing than knew what you thought you knew, but
right.
It was not of God. It's some deception the enemies or church has placed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of says, how do you get warm?
Right.
The truth. The truth of the word.
You have to
want
it too.
Yeah. Well, there's lots goes into that. I mean, you ponder for a while. Diligently seek the Lord day and night. Well, what does that leave time for? Nothing. I mean, you can't be planning what you're going to be doing if you're diligently seeking the Lord. So then we all could go home and go, well, wait, I'm not thinking about God right now. I'm thinking about lunch, ball game, hunting, fishing. And you go, oop, fall short. And then you go, where am I at now? You know, and I'm not saying that. Remember, grace and mercy is in that too. But it's easy to get literal on that and then get yourself depressed. Yeah. But, you know, the bar is pretty high. So as you're saying, it, you've got to want it, and you know, and it requires, there's a requirement of us.
Well, you know, lukewarm is cold and hot. Trying to, gray is black and white.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Trying to,
yeah, be, right.
Yeah.
You know, and so lukewarm is just trying to, well, I'm here, but you know, the other thing about, we have to eat, we have to go grocery shopping, we have to do all those things. But if I sit down and I watch a Torah movie, I'm choosing to be entertained by that movie, and I could sit and read my Bible. But I'm also a human. But, so we have to eat, we have to get dressed, we have to take a shower, we have to do all those things. Anything else that takes up our time of doing something else that's not a needed thing for living is a choice. And it's not a guilt trip, but I'm just saying it's a choice, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not guilt, but it's a choice. It's kind of like a check. You know, years back when I would clean my kitchen and I was all alone and the kids would be gone, I used to play the scriptures because the scriptures were playing. You know, that would be my. I didn't like them when all the kids were home and I was trying to sleep, and I would tell Papa the phone kind of thing, and I got a job and I can't have the scriptures playing. I'll have to answer my business calls and the scriptures playing. It was all just a bunch of excuses, you know. But then for so many years, I thought nobody's around. I'll play Judge Judy in the back. So I was cleaning my kitchen, being entertained by Judge Judy, you know. And now for years, and especially now, that nobody else is around usually when I'm cleaning the kitchen. And that's when my scriptures play or I blast my worship music. And that's my time. Mm-hmm. I could choose to watch People's Court, or I don't watch any other TV, but I could watch People's Court. But my spirit then isn't getting fed. So then later I can't wonder why I'm crabby or sad that something, you know what I mean? So if I keep my spirit fed, but I'm not going to walk through, you know, Aldi with my scripture playing in my ears, so I can't, you know, talk to somebody. You know what I mean? But it's, if you choose something, and you could be giving it to the Lord or praying for somebody, it's a choice.
The Bible doesn't say, though, don't live or buy and sell and trade. It actually says that you go somewhere and you say, we're going to live here for a year and buy and sell and trade. It says, don't do that. The only thing it changes, though, when it tells you what to say, it says, God willing, I'm going to do those things. So it doesn't say don't live. Just be faithful and honor the Lord and do everything that you're doing faithfully. Thank you that I get to watch the Packer game. Thank you that I get to have lunch. Thank you that I get the gift of this rather than I'm going to. It's more really I'm going to.
That's what Pablo's been pressing on us the last couple weeks is, no matter what you're doing, can you glorify the Lord? When you're doing the laundry, do your dishes, got to go to the grocery store, walk into the mailbox, glorify the Lord. Glorify the Lord for everything. Even if
everything that you do.
Mundane, whatever it is, just glorify the Lord in everything. It just keeps that thankfulness.
But this is how
it's
like
a heart attitude more than legalism. To be a heart.
Yes.
Not here. It's to be in the heart.
Yes.
But sometimes if you want to evaluate yourself, like use a chart to look for you. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
That's what Jesus says. And he doesn't say, oh, sometimes, on Mondays, on Sunday, no. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So listen to yourself. Do you want to know what's in your heart? Listen to yourself. Record yourself. Play it. Oh, see what you talk about. That's exactly what's in your heart. Exactly. No more or less. Exactly. Jesus was right when he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And yet, there's responsibilities, earthly things that you have to do. Okay? 10 hours a day. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't be mad at me, Susan. Jesus said it.
If your heart is full of love with Jesus, that will come forth. I hate shopping at Walmart. I just hate it. But there's times when I have to.
Yeah.
So before I go, I say, okay, you're not going to hate this. You're going to show God's love. That will override my hate for this.
Just pray you run into somebody that you can hug and pray for.
Well, and it helps.
Yeah.
Sometimes I still get frustrated or whatever because I can't move or whatever, you know. But at least I'm trying. And I'm not going to be legalistic about it. If I fail, I fail. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I failed this time. Help me to be better next time.
That's why by faith, like you said, you know, the heart. But if you do something enough times, it becomes.
It becomes
anything for 15 days becomes happy. You know what I mean?
Well, then it becomes your heart.
Yeah. So right. So if you desire it and then you fail and you desire it and you want it and whatever,
right.
Eventually it becomes. It does. And like the by faith
and
has to be like for many things.
I'm going to fail by faith because I am me. I know I'm going to fail at
mm-hmm.
times, but I'm not going to condemn myself. Mm-hmm. I'll let it be a conviction maybe, but not a condemnation. I will not accept condemnation. Condemnation.
No.
I won't accept it. I just won't. Because that gives, I think, the devil an opening. As soon as you get under condemnation,
mm-hmm.
you can't get up again. You know? Praise the Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
God's working in all of us.